Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the bear.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs. Morning, everybody. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, The Drive with Tay and Tosk. How about that? Tay and Tosk. Derek Piper, of course, as mentioned yesterday, in Florida, getting some sun. Hey, Joey Bosa's going to play this year. I don't know if you noticed that. He just signed a five-year, $170 million extension, similar to the extension Stevie J signed me to a couple of years ago here at SJ Broadcasting, so... Yeah, Bosa's got a little bit more to make to catch me, but still a pretty good little amount there at $170 million. Good morning, everybody. It is time to chat some sports, and this is living hell for me right now because I've got to sit next to a Cubs fan.
Put him up on the TV as soon as I walked in. I wanted you to take a look at that score and
oh my goodness,
try to avoid talking about him yet again.
Can I say this, and I mean this? I'm glad that one of us, and when I say one of us, I don't mean you and I mean a Cardinals or a Cubs fan, one of our fan bases, I'm glad one of us is in a pennant chase. And right now, the Chicago Cubs are as hot as anybody in baseball. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that today and figure out exactly how good this team is and what your thoughts are now going into the playoffs. Because, I mean, what, you're like three or four games ahead now in the wild card in terms of, or I mean, how do you say that? Like four-game cushion.
Right.
In the wild
three card. Wild card spots. The Cubs are currently in the second spot, but they have a three-game cushion on falling out of it completely.
Okay. And then if they win today, it'd be 3.5, then depending on who is chasing. So we will talk.
And the Milwaukee Brewers lost today, and the Cubs are, if they hold on to this five-run lead, just a game and a half back of the Brewers.
Holy smoke.
Don't say that race is over quite yet.
This is awesome. And I'd say, what did you guys end up doing against the Brewers?
1-2 at 3 at Wrigley last week.
That was big. I know you lost the first one, I think.
Yep.
So to come back and win those next two, well, that loss to the Brewers is like your only loss in about 8 months, and then it seems like. The Cubs have only lost twice, I think, in the last, like, 16 games. Is that what it is?
Not quite. They've lost one series in their last 16 series.
Wow, that's what I read. Okay, that's what I read.
But
that's crazy.
Yeah, they've been playing really well.
That is crazy. Well, we will, of course... It is game week again for Illinois and Kansas, and this is an early game week. Normally, Brett Bielma speaks on Monday and Thursday to the media, and then, of course, nothing on Friday for a Saturday game. Well, this week it's been moved up a notch, so Brett Bielma spoke today with the media. We'll hear that coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then, of course, nothing tomorrow as this Illinois team gets set to face a really good Kansas team in Lawrence, Kansas. So that's going to be Friday night at 6:30. I know Illini fans excited about that. Luckily, you won that first game, so you're 1-0 going into this Kansas game, because if you would have lost to Toledo, you're staring down a possible 0-3 beginning to the season. Now, I'm not saying that Illinois couldn't have rebounded, because I would put Illinois' first three games up against anybody in the country. Now, I haven't looked at everybody's schedule, and I'm sure that, you know, Colorado's already played TCU, who's ranked. I mean, Florida State was playing,
LSU.
LSU, who is eighth and fifth. So, listen, I know there's other schedules out there that in terms of that, but then they may turn around and play
right.
nobody for the next
gonna
week.
I was going to say, there's probably very few teams who in their first 3 weeks don't have that cupcake.
Gimme.
You know?
Yep.
And even Florida Atlantic for Illinois in week four.
Yeah.
They're not bad, but the point being that, like, Illinois is going to have to play in three really tight games and play really well to win.
One team that's ranked in Penn State, is Kansas ranked yet? I don't think. But they're receiving votes, and Toledo came in receiving more votes than Illinois. So, essentially, you could argue Illinois, when it comes to the AP poll, was playing three teams better than them. But, of course, that is not the case because Illinois was a 9-point favorite against Toledo and, of course, won that. Cody Bellinger just hit number 24.
He's incredible.
We're going to test Kyle because not only is he doing the board, but he's finding out now how hard it is. The board itself, you know, once you get used to it, it's pretty easy. However, when there's an event on TV that you want to watch, it makes it tricky. Are you sure you don't want to switch with me right now?
Right.
Because you would have perfect.
They got the 8-2 lead. If it was like a one-run game in
you'd
the
switch
eight,
with me, wouldn't
I'd
you?
Switch.
You'd say, you know what?
I feel pretty good.
I don't care about my future. I don't care about learning what's going on in radio. I want to watch the Cubs win this game today. But love having Kyle here, and of course, we'll get Pipes back next week, and then guess what I do? I fly down to Florida Saturday. I will not have the same issue that they had on a recent plane that had to turn around and land.
Gosh.
That was disgusting. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't know how that happens. But listen, good night, good week of partying for that person.
Did
obviously.
We need the video from that,
no!
too? There was no need to
no!
release that.
We need to put, look, I'm not for censorship, but I think we need to get to a point where we're censoring some things that are on Twitter and everything, because it's just, there's fights that I don't need to see. I'm not one of those guys that loves, like, oh, wow, look at that guy, punch that guy out. I'm not like that, right? And I definitely don't need to see what that thing that happened on that plane. So I think we need to get to that point. All right, so we will talk some Illini. We'll hear from Brett Bielema as we go along. And, of course, at now I can't think of his name. Matt Tate, right? He's going to join us at 4:30, hopefully. Now, here's the crazy thing. Now, he joined us earlier. He works, he covers Kansas sports. He joined us earlier when the news broke about Illinois and Kansas playing an exhibition basketball game. And so I said, hey, can we get you before the Illinois-Kansas football game? He's like, absolutely, I'd love to jump on. Well, this week he sends me an email, and he's like, Lon, I totally forgot I'm flying to Vegas Wednesday. So we were going to have him on tomorrow, but he's actually doing, now get this, they're flying with his dad. He's flying to Vegas to do a fantasy draft in Vegas.
Oh, my.
And the draft is actually Thursday during our show. So he's like, I'm out for that. He's like, the only time I could join you is Wednesday at 4:30 because we land at 4 o'clock Central Time. So we're sitting here hoping that his plane doesn't have any issues where they have to turn around. And if it all works out, Matt's going to text me here in a little bit to make sure, once he lands, obviously, to make sure he can still join us. But we will get some insider from the Jayhawks about this game on Friday night with Illinois and Kansas. I got to give a quick shout out. I was invited to speak to the Monticello Rotary today. Kevin Burgess invited me over there and had a great time. I show up and he's got a 2-liter of Mountain Dew waiting for me. I'm like, Kevin, I'm trying to lose weight here, my man. So they had Monocle's Pizza set up. They had Coke. They had everything. And it was very fun to talk to that group. I'm a Rotarian myself. I'm sure if any of my Villa Grove Rotarian friends are listening, they're saying, oh, wait a minute, you can show up at Monticello, but you can't make it a mile out to the country club to listen or to come to our Rotaries on Thursdays. I'm going to try like heck to make that tomorrow so that I'm not getting yelled at by my own club. But it was fun, definitely, to visit with everybody and kind of get a chance to meet some people in Monticello, and a lot of them I knew, so it was fun to kind of catch up with them. All right, before we get to Brett Bielema and this Illini squad, I got to ask you, Kyle, this Chicago Cubs team is for real right now. Like you mentioned, they've won a ton of series in a row. They've won a ton of games, and they have put themselves in a position where they are dead set on making this playoff. I know that we've still got a little time to play here, but also the fact they're chasing down Milwaukee in the Central. What has been the key in this last month, let's call it? Well, I mean, when I say a month, I don't mean just September, but like in the last month through August through now, what's been the key to this team just catching fire?
I think it's been a combination of a lot of things. I think they've just come together and really put every phase of the ball, of baseball together. I feel like there was that stretch there right before the trade deadline where they just could not hit. And
nope.
It was a really poor lineup. and there wasn't much depth to the lineup. The bottom of the lineup had guys that probably shouldn't have even been on the roster. And all of a sudden, certain guys just got hot, and they went on that run. I mean, they've been playing at a championship pace since really that first Cardinals four-game series that we were sitting here talking about. And when Talkman had robbed that home run and everything like that. So I think it's been a combination of a lot of things. Seiya Suzuki has turned it around and has been outstanding at the plate. You had Candelario to that lineup.
Suzuki was struggling.
He was really struggling. And here over the last month, he's been just incredible. Bellinger just provides it seems like every time the Cubs have gone into a lull offensively or they need a big hit or they need someone to pick them up, Bellinger is just getting that for him. And he's just been the heart and soul of that lineup. Ian Happ has played a lot better here recently. Adding Candelario to the lineup was huge at the deadline, and he's played well. And then the pitching staff.
Like, I mean, do you have a Cy Young winner?
I think so. As of now, I think they might. Now, there's probably four or five more starts for each of these candidates to make here down the stretch. But, I mean, Justin Steele taking the ball every day as just a bona fide ace and giving you a chance to win every time out. I mean, the start he had, the last two starts he had, one against Milwaukee in game two of that series after the game one loss against Corbin Burns.
That's a lot of pressure.
Goes six shutout innings and gives you a chance to win, and then goes eight shutout here against the Giants with 12 strikeouts. So he's been outstanding. But then there was that point in early August where Marcus Stroman goes on the IL, and a lot of Cubs fans were wondering, well, does this team have the pitching now? We thought 2 weeks ago the offense was the problem. They're doing their part now. Now you lose your second best starter, one of the cogs of your rotation. Are you going to have enough pitching?
Mm-hmm.
And some guys have just really stepped up. Javier Assad's one guy who has just come out of nowhere and been fantastic. Kyle Hendricks has really reverted back to his old self in a lot of ways. So it's just kind of I can't really point to one thing. It's just all of a sudden, right before the trade deadline, they felt that urgency of, like, we better go on a run here or this season's basically going to be over because Bellinger's gone and whatever. And they really just haven't looked back since then.
Shout out to Bryce real quick on the U of I line text line. I said that wrong. It wasn't Joey Bosa. Nick Bosa. Thank you, Bryce.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa signed the big deal today. So when you describe an ace, when you describe a number one pitcher on your staff, kind of the stopper, not the closer, but the stopper, the guy that can stop any kind of losing streak, the guy that you go into a series almost knowing that, hey, you know what? We know we're going to win that game. Not all the time, but Steele's, what, 16-3?
Yeah.
So you're talking about a guy that is a legitimate one. And the thing that showed me that was that Brewers game, because when you guys lost that first game, you were five back.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I even remember saying to you on the air, well, listen, I don't think we're going to be shooting for a central title, but you guys are still in good shape in the wild card. Now, all of a sudden, like you said, you're 1.5. As long as you hold on here, which you're up 8-2 in the eighth, you're now 1.5 behind Milwaukee in a dogfight here in the last month to try to win that NL Central. A Central, by the way, that could see three teams in the playoffs. Right now, as it stands, you got three teams in the playoffs. Milwaukee, Chicago, and the Reds, who are in it right now if it ended. So you're talking about an NL Central that a lot of people took shots at when the season started, and now you're looking at it thinking, well, this is not a bad little division, and you can't even bring up anymore the idea, well, they're just beating up on each other.
Right.
I mean, everybody's playing everybody equal number of times. Obviously, you know, you guys play us more than other teams in the West and such, so you could argue that a little bit, but the idea that you could have three teams that are going to the playoffs from the NL Central. Now, here's my question to you. Losing Stroman, and I don't think he's going to be back. It doesn't appear that he's coming back. When you had Stroman, you had a legit, I thought, 1-2 at least, and a possible 3 to get into a playoff series and win a series. Now you definitely have a 1 that can match up with any 1, especially this year in baseball. Are you comfortable with your 2-3? I know you just mentioned two of them that are pitching well, but without Stroman, how comfortable are you knowing that you're going into a three-game series? You could get the win from Steele. How confident are you in the other two, even in that?
It's a little bit of a concern. I will say I have trust in giving the ball to Kyle Hendricks in a playoff
game. That's true. Veteran.
He hasn't been phenomenal by any means this year, but he's been really solid. In fact, there was a stretch there when he had first come back where he looked like, oh, is it, he just – he really was struggling and he looked like, okay, is this kind of it for Kyle Hendricks as being a cog of this rotation? And right coinciding with when the offense took off and this team went on a run, he's also looked really solid and he's kept the Cubs in every start. Is he going to throw seven shutout?
Right.
Probably not most nights, but he's going to give you six and he's going to give up one, two, three runs keeping a game. I would have a lot of trust, especially knowing his past and some of the massive games that he has pitched in
Without
the postseason in his career. I'd feel comfortable giving him the ball in game two. If we get to a wild card series, three-game series, the Cubs split the first two with their opponent, and it's game three time, I get a little nervous there because, like, Assad's pitched great. That guy is in his second year in the big leagues, has never been on
the opposite of Hendricks, right? Yeah.
And I don't know if he's going to continue this level of pitching for the next month and month and a half. You got some younger options. Jameson Taillon's a veteran who's pitched in a couple of those games before, but he's really, he just isn't trustworthy at all to me. I would not feel comfortable giving him the ball. It is a concern because with Stroman, you do have that depth and you have those three guys that you can point to.
No doubt.
Saying, wild card series, three game series, these are my three and we're going to ride with these guys. It gets a little dicey now. I'd feel a lot worse about it if the Cubs offense hadn't been one of the best offenses in baseball since like the middle of July. So I think they could find their way past a spot starter, a guy that's maybe not going to give you seven innings in game three.
That's fair. I want to stick with Steele. I looked him up the other day because I'm like, well, what's the story with this kid? Is this some 19-year-old kid? Is this some kid that's fresh out of college? He's not. He's actually 28, I believe. He's a guy that came up through the Cubs system, I believe was like a eighth round pick or fifth round pick or so of the Chicago Cubs. So he's been a guy that you guys have essentially groomed through the minors. And that is a problem that the Cubs have had for the last couple of decades. They really didn't groom that many pitchers coming up through. And they always had that issue where even with the collection of stars you had that went on to win a World Series, even then you had to go out and buy pitching, right? Which I'm not saying is bad. I mean, I understand not everybody's just going to just sit there and, you know, churn out starter after starter over and over. So this isn't a rip on the Cubs, but certainly Justin Steele is a kid that has come up through this system and is doing what he's doing. And I want to ask you about, now I'm not asking you to go back, you know, 5 years that you knew everything about Justin Steele, but has this been a progression? Is this something that you knew in the last couple of years or 3 years that, hey, there's this kid at AA ball that's throwing really well, and now he's up in AAA and he's showing his stuff, and we think he's going to be on this Cubs roster by 22, let's say, or 23. What has been kind of the thought process of his progression through that Cubs farm system?
It's interesting because he was never like the top prospect in the Cubs farm system. He was never the guy that you were looking at like, okay, we got Justin Steele's on the way.
Can't
he's going to be
right.
He's going to be the next ace of the staff. Can't wait for him to come up. He was in that middle tier of the prospect rankings for a lot of the time. He was known in the Cubs system, but he was kind of a slow mover. I mean, he was drafted in 2014 and didn't debut till 2021. So he was had some struggles early in his pro career and was kind of a slow mover, so you never really knew, is he ever going to reach the bigs? And it was just kind of right around the time that they were selling off those guys in 2021 that he made his debut, and he had really kind of found a groove at that point. But it's still, you didn't think that he was, when he came up, it wasn't like, okay, this is a guy that we're grooming to be at the top of our rotation. He kind of came up more as a reliever. He still only really throws two pitches, which is something that's just incredibly rare for a starter to have success with. But both of them are so dominant that he's able to get away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's never really been like the highly touted guy that came up that you've thought of for years as being one of your top pitching prospects and one of the next cogs of your rotation. But it has been a slower progression, but really a pretty quick breakout and rise to this level to debut 2 years ago and now be maybe in the front runner for the NL Cy Young.
That's crazy.
Is pretty crazy of how fast he kind of broke out and onto the scene in the big. So it has been a really interesting kind of path for him. But
yeah, it's interesting. Scott mentioned on the U of I Atlanta like text line that the Cardinals now almost have to buy a whole staff. I agree. I mean, I believe Dakota Hudson came up with him. If he or Zach Thompson next year doesn't make the starting rotation, you could have five guys from outside the organization that you did not develop come up. You know, you're hearing all about Randy Flores and how great he's doing as a development guy and a drafting guy, but right now that not on the pitching side because there's not a lot. Now, they've got some kids. Tink Hintz is coming up. They've got Grafico or however you say his name. They may have some, but until you see it happen at this level, you just don't know. But it's a good point, Scott. How about the bullpen for the Cubbies? I'm going to just be transparent. Part of it is the idea that the Cardinals have not been very good. Part of it is I'm just in a spot in my life where I just don't have much time to just get home, sit down, watch a game. Andrew's playing 100 games. I've always got something going on. So I've probably watched less baseball this year than I have my entire life, right? I mean, this is probably the year that I just haven't watched a ton. I am excited about your Cubbies being able, and I mean that when I say that. Like, I'll tell you right now, I hope you don't win a World Series. Mm-hmm. I'll be flat out honest with you there. But I'm excited that you're in it, and it gives us something to talk about, and it makes our radio show better to know that the Cubs, at least one of our teams, because right now the Cards and White Sox are an utter fail. Yeah, you know, they both basically are in the top five in terms of a draft pick, although, as Jeremy Werner pointed out the other day, now they do a lottery starting last year. The one time the Cardinals decide to dip into that top five, now they're going to have to do a lottery.
Knowing the Cardinals, they'll find a way to get the first pick.
They'll get one. So. Yeah, right. That's exactly. It'll be like the Blackhawks, you know, this year getting the one pick. I'm like, oh, how interesting is that? Then I'll know how the rest of baseball feels because they already hate the Cardinals in the whole Cardinals way. So that would be amazing. But how about your bullpen? Give me an idea on the bullpen and what is going on there, what's going right, et cetera, for that squad.
I think that is the one thing I failed to mention when you asked what has led to kind of the mm-hmm. turnaround and the success. I didn't really mention the bullpen because that was a concern in the first couple months of the year. And then guys started finding their roles, and David Ross started finding out which guys that he can put where. Albert Alzolay has established himself as the closer. And it's a bullpen that's been pretty good. You don't have you don't have the Brewers bullpen, I'll put it that way, right, where you got three, four guys that have ERAs under two. And
they'll,
you know,
trade them here at any moment.
If you're up, yeah, they will. If you're up one in the seventh, if you're up one in the seventh inning and the game's probably over, it's not that type of dominant bullpen. It's probably not one of the best bullpens in the league, but it's gotten the job done, and you have some guys in later innings. You have Mark Leiter Jr., Julian Merriweather, Michael Fulmer, they signed this offseason, has really been good here. He's on the IL right now, but it's, I think, a minor injury, should be back soon. And then Alzolay has established himself as a high energy. He wants to be the closer. When he comes in the ninth, he is fired up to do it and has been, I think he's only blown like three saves.
Wow.
So it's a bullpen I feel pretty good about.
Guy you thought was going to be a starter, right? I mean, I can remember, what was that, 2 years ago that – or even last year.
A little long.
Or maybe
it was
further than that.
He made his debut in 2019 and then started a lot of games in 2020. And then he started transitioning a couple years ago to the bullpen.
Got it. My bad. I was wondering because I can remember talking about him and, wait, this is the guy. This is the next guy for the Cubs.
He was that opposite to Steele. He was the top pitching prospect in the system that you're excited about. And he just couldn't really find it as a starter and has now made it as a closer, and those guys get paid a decent amount of money if you can.
There's no doubt.
If you can get the job done.
Wicks with going to get the win today, right, for the Cubbies. He went 6 2/3. Now, Wes said he did draft two Cy Youngs, though. What did I say that? See, I'm old now. I don't even remember what I said.
Is he talking about Mozeliak or?
The Cardinals haven't had a Cy Young guy for a while, or did we trade one? Did we get rid of guys that won a Cy Young?
Alcantara won one.
Oh, yeah, good call. Yeah, Alcantara and then Gallen.
Gallen, who think has won one yet, but has been in the mix.
Right, exactly. Okay, good call, Wes. My fault. I was like, I couldn't understand what was going on there. Yeah, we draft him, but then we just get rid of him. No, I mean, that usually doesn't happen. That's crazy that all of that happens. So, well, listen, the Cubbies it is a team that is on fire right now, and it's just one of those where it just started rolling. And you're like, are they that good? And then all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute. This team must be really good and are playing really well right now. I don't know. It's too early yet to look at that and say, all right, who would you rather face in the playoffs? Who would you, you know, do all that stuff. But You look at this, and it's amazing what they've done.
I do. I will say, looking at the playoffs, I want to do everything I can to not see the Brewers in that three-game wild card. I just, with their pitching, I don't want any part of them. I know that their offense, you can shut them down. They're not this most scary team on paper, but there's something about staring that pitching staff down in a three-game series that I want no part of.
You look at that. Every year I think that about the Brewers, and I keep waiting for them to do more in the playoffs, but
I think
that is
kind of the thing, though, is they don't have the offense and the star power to win a World Series. But if you put them in a smaller sample setting and just let them put their studs on the hill, I'm way more scared of them.
Now, what's normal in life is the Cardinals scoring 10 and beating the Braves 10-6 or 9, whatever it was. What is that? I turn that game on and it's 9-1 Cardinals, and I'm like, what? That makes no sense. You're playing the Atlanta Braves here. You're not supposed to be winning this, but interesting. Now, don't start winning late. You know, let's go ahead and let the Braves beat you up the next 2 days and get that out of the way, or however many we play them. So,
yeah, Wainwright on the mound tomorrow against the Braves offense. How are you feeling that at all?
No, and that would be ironic.
Imagine if he did finally get a win against the Braves.
Good Lord. The team that drafted him, the team that traded him. That would be interesting if that would happen. But, boy, that could be a recipe for some major disaster. Waino and the Braves. Is that tonight?
I think he pitches tomorrow.
Oh, is it tomorrow? Okay, and he's still on 198. We're still on the search, right? We're still on that 200-level search. So we'll see. We'll see if that can happen. But, yeah, it's great that the Cubbies are doing what they're doing. And there, we just talked about the Cubs.
That was a full segment about the Cubs.
That was solid. Is there anything else we missed?
I don't think so.
I mean, you know, I can remember early in the season when – who was the dude you had at first that in the London series he couldn't catch?
Mancini.
Yes. And that Candelario now has really kind of helped fill that. And you had the ex-Cardinal that tore up
– Wisdom.
Wisdom, Patrick Wisdom, And then he just went off a cliff.
Yep.
So you're getting nothing out of those two, and now all of a sudden with Candelario. They did a good job of identifying what they needed and getting that done at the trade deadline. Is there anything else they could have done at the trade deadline that you were hoping they would do?
I wanted them to add to the bullpen a little bit. There were some bullpen pieces, especially a lefty. They don't have a lefty out there in the bullpen that they trust in high leverage spots.
Would Wicks fall back to that role if the playoffs rolled around?
Maybe. He has more of a starter mix to him. He doesn't throw very hard. He kind of relies on the changeup. It doesn't really scream eighth inning.
That's fair.
In the playoffs type of guy, but it's possible. And they got a couple other harder throwers down in AAA that they could give a shot to. But I thought they would maybe go out and get one more bullpen piece, particularly a lefty. And, of course, if they knew that Stroman was going to miss the rest of the year, probably would have gone out and tried to go grab a starter.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
But you can't really blame them for it because that came on a little bit after the deadline.
If you think bad word when I say this phrase, I don't give a – all right? So when you said if they give a shot to, I was like, Kyle's about ready to curse. He's going to have his first, like, where's the dump button here? That's never happened to me. Knock on wood. I don't think this is wood. So I've never had to hit the dump button either. Do you know where it's at, though, just in case?
I see it.
Okay, I'm old now. You know, I'm old angry guy now. Like, when I drive, if I'm driving now, and I still go, like, if I'm on a 55, I'm going, like, 60, right? An officer would tell you that's fine. You're not getting out of hand. I think it's more of if you're in a 35, don't go 40. You know, one of those deals. If you're on a highway and you're going 60, and I'm sure officers right now are going, really, Lon? You're going to throw that out there? We know exactly what you drive, that Dodge van, that gray-orange Dodge van that I drive. I'm trying to throw them off here. But I'm the guy now that and I don't ever do this, but I'm promising you right now, Kyle, if I left work tonight and drove 80 on a country road somewhere, there's going to be somebody right behind me going 79. And I'm just like, what? And it's like, what is the hurry? I mean, I'm in the hurry, but why are you right behind me like that?
That is my biggest driving pet peeve when somebody is tailgating you.
I think people fall asleep kind of, not in a literal sense. I think what they do is they see a car in front of them going a certain speed. They don't even look at the speed. They just know that they're going to get up behind you and they're good to go, and that's where they're going to – I find it funny. If I'm going 40, I got somebody right behind me. If I'm going 60, I got somebody right behind me. If I would ever go 80, I guarantee you I'd have somebody right behind me. And so I've only started to notice that. This is weird creeping into old age. Like, my body feels just like it's broken down. And after that whole tailgate day Saturday, Sunday, I woke up and I could, I mean, I was just like, if I got up from the, if I got up from the chair, the recliner, to go get a drink of water, it was like I was 85 years old. And I'm not ripping on 85 years old, because I've seen 85 year olds that, that walked a lot better than I did that day. But I was just like beat up. And it's like, this is interesting that I'm transitioning into this older age. I can't hold anything. I'll pick up something and drop it immediately. And I'm like, I used to have pretty good hands. It's all going downhill, Kyle, and you're here to watch it. So take note. Take note in that.
I'm a little scared now.
Rick says, okay, Lon, you did your duties to talk Cubs. Let's talk Illinois football. I am excited.
I appreciate
about
the long Cubs segment, though. I want to talk Illinois football as much as anyone, but we got it.
Hey, the story for me right now, is the Cubs, what they're doing, because they're winning again 8-2. They're going to win today, but we do need to focus on Illinois football, and that's certainly what was going to happen. Again, we'll talk to Matt Tate, 4:30, covers Kansas. He'll give us his thanks. What the hell's that? His thoughts on the Kansas Jayhawks and this football team, to see what's going to be happening on Friday night. And, of course, Brett Bielema met today with the media. We also have a snippet from Aaron Henry that Kyle was in here and did some great stuff. In fact, when we come back, let's focus a little bit on Aaron Henry first. I'd like to hear, you said he was talking about kind of how they're going to try to attack this Kansas defense. We noticed in the game. Good call. Offense.
How, kind of some of the question marks surrounding how he defended Daquan Finn on Saturday night, and then just the challenge of defending dual threat quarterbacks in general and the Kansas quarterbacks.
Because that's a lot of what we talked about yesterday with Jay Layman as well, that we felt like Illinois could have been a little more aggressive against Toledo. But, hey, I'm not a defensive coordinator. Aaron Henry is, so we'll let him give his thoughts on that. All right, a lot to do. So if you want to weigh in, some of you have, 217-359-2255. That is 359-2255. Now, you got to watch the levels here, Kyle, but I want you to give me just a little bit of a music bed. All right, now, so when you hit the music, then you got to turn it down just a little so people can hear me. Wow, especially that one. That one's coming out hot, huh? Hey, I want to tell you, Game Day Spirit's looking forward to the Penn State 11 a.m. kickoff. Don't forget, it's Hail to the Orange Out, so you've got to wear orange. If I get to the Memorial Stadium and see you in blue, I'm punching you. No, actually, I wouldn't do that. I promise I wouldn't do that. But I may make fun of you. I may say, are you colorblind? Did you not buy an orange shirt? I'll think of something. But you got to wear orange against Penn State. It is the Orange Out game. So Fox, of course, will be wearing or doing their sports show in Grange Grove. I doubt they'll be wearing orange. That Fox show begins at 9 a.m. 10,000 orange rally towels will be handed out. So that'll be fun. Central Illinois Toyota dealers doing that one. Illinois Athletics Hall of Fame weekend, 2023 class honored at halftime. I think Jack Trudeau coming back for that. I wonder if he just hung around. He's just going to hang around for the month, because I think he's going into the Hall of Fame. So check out the bigger store at 1602 South Neal Street, and, of course, their store at 519 East Green. You might run into Kyle there and say hi. You can go online, of course, all day, gamedayspirit.com. They're ours, if you're wondering, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 8 p.m., Sunday, 11 to 6. Make sure you got your orange and you're ready to go against Penn State. But let's talk Kansas when we return. It is The Drive.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstowing.com.
Here's your OSF Healthcare Medical Minute.
Hi, I'm JT Barnhart, the president of OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center. I want to start by just thanking our providers and our staff, our mission partners at the hospital, for the great care that they take of our community in providing the services. One of the new offerings that we have coming up in the next couple of months, we've recruited an interventional pain provider who will be able to do some of those injections and procedures to help people who are struggling with long-term pain. In conjunction with that, we have an orthopedic spine surgeon that will work together with the interventional pain provider to really offer a robust spine pain service for the community of Champaign-Urbana and the surrounding areas. We have also brought in a brand new open heart surgeon. He is doing a really good job, really helping us expand our heart program to be a more regional heart institute at OSF in Urbana. And so want to just continue doing the great things that we're doing around our cardiac program to offer a great service for the community.
For more information, visit osfhealthcare.org.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Join the Urbana Park District for the 25th anniversary of the Wandell Sculpture Garden on September 15th at Meadowbrook Park. The fun starts at 3:30 with refreshments, followed by the rededication ceremony. At 5 o'clock, there's a walk through the sculpture garden. Listen to great jazz music at various stations along the way. The Wandell Sculpture Garden, a local jewel in public art. September 15th in Meadowbrook Park. Visit urbanaparks.org.
Hey, it's Stevie J. I have a Stever offer for you. The Stever is where Stevie J gives you money and you spend it and keep the stuff. You have to use it within 7 days, then tell me what you thought about the business when you're done. Today, from the Long Branch Restaurant, Long Branch up in Gifford, Illinois, Donnie and Hunter and Taylor and the team, they provide steaks and some other great food as well. So here's the deal. I'll give you $50 if you want to go up there and eat. $50 from the Long Branch. Go to GoStever.com. If you don't have a free account, sign up. Click accept when you see the offer. And you might just get yourself $50 to go to the Long Branch Restaurant. They're up in Gifford, Illinois, beautiful Gifford. And again, it's our Stever offer of the day. GoStever.com, click accept. You have to use this within 7 days, so check your calendar. Long Branch is open Wednesday through Saturday. All right? $50, Long Branch, GoStever.com. GoStever.com.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Talking about the music. Don't you be bringing that in here, Kyle.
I'm sorry.
Without using his hands, the music started. And I'm like, how'd you do that? Well, Rob showed me how to program the song. Okay. I'm telling you, I can see the writing on the wall. You guys are just slowly getting rid of it. And it's just now, that right there was as obvious as I've ever seen of a place just trying to get rid of an employee. I can feel it already. I hope Stevie's got my back on this because I think everybody else down here is just trying to get rid of me. I can feel it.
We got your back on it too. You're the life of the show.
We
can't move on without you.
I'm the comedy of the show. Yeah, like making mistakes. You're the right.
You provide the entertainment value. That's for sure.
Hey, a 651 on the U of I Atlanta League text line. Lon, I agree. The drops are the worst thing about getting old. It's 67. Wow, that's awesome. 67 and still rolling and just kicking butt on that Social Security that everybody tells me won't be there when I get there. And then I looked and saw that I'm going to make even more now. Social Security. I'm like, wait. I'm hearing two things. All right, let's get to it. Illinois football, Kansas, big one this Friday. We can discuss more about it next hour. Matt Tate from Wave the Wheat is going to join us to talk about Kansas. I've mentioned that three times already. Let's hear from Aaron Henry, Illinois defensive coordinator, coming off his first game as a defensive coordinator. We talked all about how the players, according to the coaches, learn more from week one to week two. Well, so do the coaches, including Aaron Henry. Let's see what he had to say about this week's game against Kansas.
Man, it is always a tough task because you got to ask the question, right? Do you play coverage, right, and only bring a couple and allow him to have a little more time back there? Or do you bring more than they can block and still allow them to run around because we can't get to them? So you just try to find a fine balance and kind of get them off beat a little bit, kind of like we did in the second half. I thought we were much better in the second half, trying to get a little more pressure to them and the way in which we did it. And so I know everybody has answers in regards to, right, like why don't you bring more? Well, the problem is if you bring more and we don't tackle them, maybe he hits his head on a goalpost for a couple of those, at least in zone coverage. He has time to run around, but you got guys with eyes on him. And so that's always a challenge, you know what I'm saying, when you're playing a quarterback of that caliber, right? That young man had the ability to run around. He was really, really athletic, you know. And so we were just trying to do what we could to contain him and keep everything in front of us for the most part. And both of the quarterbacks are extremely talented. I think Bean presents a different set of issues just because of his – I think he's on a time at 10-300 meters, some of that nature. You know, the kid can fly, you know, and the starter, I mean, 6'6 is ridiculous. You know, he has a cannon. He throws the ball extremely well. You know, he makes all the throws. I mean, it's times in which obviously their offense is catered around the quarterback system and finding the right guy. And so we're preparing for both of them because we're not sure. We're hearing things, but not really sure. I think they do a really good job in having a two quarterback system because they play both of them. Sometimes they're both on the field, and our goal is to try to stop them whenever we can. So another task this week with a really, really good quarterback, but that goes without saying, right? Like, we're going to play good quarterbacks every single week, and each one of them are going to present a different problem, and it's up to us to make sure we're ready and prepare for it.
You might be playing the best one you're going to face this year, this week.
I think so.
So I understand what Aaron Henry's saying there. You are going to face good quarterbacks, and obviously Penn State's got a good one as well that you'll see next week. But you are, let's be honest, I know everybody can jump on Aaron Henry early about this, but you're playing in Daniels and Finn. Those are two really good quarterbacks that can do a lot to damage you and hurt you. So I feel for Aaron Henry a little bit. I mean, he's being thrown right in the fire here, right off the bat. I know
you couldn't have scheduled him another Wyoming to off his right. career as a DC.
Exactly. I know Big Def said when you're in doubt, play to your strengths. And Aaron Henry might be learning about those strengths right now. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I want to give him one more week, actually two more, and then probably the fourth week against Florida Atlantic, right, to see. But certainly this has not been easy to be thrown in the fire. All right, Brett Bielema, he met today with the media to discuss Kansas. Let's hear from the coach B.
Yeah, everything's accelerated today, but I think our guys have handled it really, really well today. Even brought our defense inside because the stadium, we had that blaring as loud as we could with crowd noise. Obviously, a sellout over there. I know they're excited about it. Got their everything from their uniforms to their fan base. Everybody's been making a big deal about this game. Good part is we get to be a part of it, right? So to have a chance to fly over there and play a really good football team, I think our guys are excited. They got good players on both sides of the ball, and it's a kicking game. So from a health standpoint, Matt Bailey's been back with us. He won't be able to play this week, but he'll be back with us, I think, next week. Other than that, everybody came back. T-strain's been cleared. Practice today from a protocol standpoint there. Isaiah Adams practiced today. Really, that's about it. I don't think there's anybody else in there and have questions, so we should be pretty good. We're going to bring along a couple new faces. Some of the freshmen we've been, especially in the back end between with Sabor, Caleb Patterson, Prince Ford. There's been about four or five DBs, young DBs, that we're kind of rotating through, so we might roll through those a little bit. Other than it should be that the same 74 that were with us last Friday or last Saturday. With that, open up for questions.
Might be a stupid question. Yeah. Even though we can't play, will Matt make the trip?
No, just because the roster spots are so valuable. But I would tell you, like game day wise and practice wise, everybody's checking with him. And there's some things we can do rehab wise with him here that wouldn't be the same accessibility that he has there. So if he hadn't played last year so much or been involved, I think about taking him on this just to get the continuity of traveling. But But yeah, he's looked great.
The Friday games, you've got one of two this year.
Yeah.
Just your take on the whole thing.
You know, I think maybe 15, 10, you know, this is my 15th year as a head coach, but it's been about 18, 20 years. 2006, I guess, is my first head coaching year. I used to get a lot more wrapped up in 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock, night game, Friday, Thursday, Saturday. What I've learned, our kids, because I think of the morning practices,
okay,
they learn to adjust and practice to anything. You know, I know they had that game last week originally scheduled for a Thursday game. We made them move that to Friday. So they had one more day on us prep-wise. But I think our guys, you know, we really didn't lose a day. We took Monday out of the equation, so we've had the exact same number of prep days.
And high school football conflict there, I know that's always been
concerned. I'm a purist, right? A little bit of a traditionalist, so that's part of it. But again, I think the Big Ten X number of years ago, I literally think I remember the first Friday night Big Ten football game was at Minnesota because there was a conflict in the World Series or something with the playoffs, okay, and the Twins had to play on Saturday, so the Gophers played on a Friday. I remember a big deal about that. And then really 15 years ago, 16 years ago when I became a head coach, there was talks of Friday night games, and I think they gave you the option back then, but you know, I think even like Sunday, to see a Sunday game, you know, you're seeing things now that you've never seen before, and I think it's driven obviously by the dollar of the TV contract, but our guys really flow with it pretty easy.
Is there any carryover?
Yeah, it's done. It happens now, so let's quit worrying about it.
Yeah.
And that was a close game.
Literally, you know, as soon as we scheduled this game on a Friday night, we, you know, immediately drew the comparison to Indiana. So that's kind of been a challenge for our returning guys. But again, we got so many guys that are new faces. Older guys have educated them. Last year, we did a little few more evening practices. But the University of Illinois academic structure is not very forgiving. So we couldn't really move practices from the morning to the evening. Just too many conflicts and stuff like that. So we've stayed in the morning. We did Monday night under the lights, a walk. But other than that, we've stayed with our morning routine.
Other than the obvious, which is drinking a lot of water, Brett, what else do you tell the guys about cramping and hydrating?
You know, I've been talking about this one for about 6 weeks. When we were in fall camp, we didn't have a lot of hot days, but I would reference the temperature in Lawrence at that time because they had a really hot box over there, right? So the advantage they had in that. But again, it looks like game time temperature is supposed to be somewhere between 85, 75 on Friday night. And of course, it'll be in the evening. So the beginning phases might be a little bit of sun exposure, but for the most part, the sun will be down. So it's a little bit different feel, but very similar to what we've been experiencing here. So I think the element of that, and in addition to some of our guys that, you know, like again, the four guys last week that cramped up, needed IVs, we've really been proactive with them, even today, giving those guys hydration tests coming in the building.
How does it help you going to the next game when you have a Friday game? How much help is that to have that bonus day?
It's just one day, but again, Saturday, because we didn't take a day off this week, Saturday we can't touch them, so they'll have the day off. As coaches, we'll come in, grade the Kansas film, and we've already done a lot of prep on Penn State, but obviously they'll play their second game on that Saturday, so we'll have two games on them to go through and adjust what we'd already learned through the spring, the summer, in our early fall scouting.
So there's some value
Marcus,
there
I knew
for
my
you,
mic.
Right?
Sorry, Bob Osmus, yeah, I wasn't ripping on you. Just the question.
Probably in some capacity, but I don't really think it's a big big element.
What are your thoughts on your first 4 weeks of your schedule? I know you get two good group of five teams, then you got a road out of conference Power Five game with a top 10 team mixed in there. Do you like that kind of a tough starter? Would you like to have an FCS mixed in there somewhere?
You know, I think the greatest thing in college football with the opening of the transfer portal and the way the world's wired now, every game is an opportunity to win or lose. And I said this before the year started, we have 12 games on our schedule that we have a chance to win. We have 12 games that we have a chance to lose, right? And what we do that week depends on that preparation, and what we do on that Saturday is a large part of what happens on that day. So I get the question, I appreciate it, but it really has no factor in the way we think. I think the outside world looking in. What is unique to this schedule, if you want a big picture schedule, there are several games this year that are rematch games that really aren't rematches just because there's new staff. You know, when we go to Purdue, when Nebraska comes here on a Friday night, when we play Wisconsin, those are all new, really, preparations. So the carryover from last year to this year is really at a minimum. And we have a lot of that up front. Our first four games are obviously new opponents. We haven't played Penn State 2 years ago, but the first four games are all new opponents. And then really in game five against Purdue, it's a new opponent as well. So some of the themes and models we used last year, the big rematch scenario, right, which was a big part of what we do, you can't really use that this year.
Familiar and remember the story Lance is passing around about when he was at Whitewater, you would let him use the indoor in Madison?
Yeah, Lance. I don't know when I first met Lance, but he was very successful college coach, you know, in Whitewater, numerous national championships. We crossed paths. He had been a GA at Wisco before I was there, but sure. Just a guy, he and I kind of think a lot alike, and we kind of just started walking in certain paths. And then, yeah, I remember he had several times where he'd use our facility. And then I know he said the other day in his presser when he got the job at Buffalo, I just called him, congratulated him, said, hey, if there's anything I could do. And that's when he came down and spent a couple days with me before our bowl prep, just kind of talk big picture things. But we've known this day has been coming, right? Like, as soon as I took the job here and as soon as he had the Kansas job, we talked about it and we saw each other at the draft. I thought it was kind of ironic, two guys that took over programs that weren't, and then we were both at the draft last year for first rounders. That was pretty impressive. So just a lot of really good vibes, tremendous coach. I know a lot of his assistant coaches. I don't know them well, but I know who they are. I've been around them a lot. It's just a lot of good respect.
You've done this for 15 years. Is that rare?
There you go. That is Brett Bielema. And yeah, by the way, I've had a couple of people text in. I told Kyle, I said, can you turn my mic?
He knew what he was doing.
I'm like, we've been 15 years we've dealt with this Friday night football stuff. Listen, I love Bob Osmussen. I think Bob is one of the best when it comes to especially covering college football. He is a friend. I like Bob, but it didn't matter who asked that question. I'm like, oh, here comes the proverbial, hey, we're going against high school football. Yeah, I know. There's nothing Brett Bielema can do. There's nothing. I mean, it is what it is. And we're going to deal with this for the rest of our lives. So if you've got a kid playing high school football, you go to the high school football game. You record the Illinois game. It's that simple. Although it is one of those where it's like, I don't want to hear. So when Illinois basketball is playing, I went up to the guy that does the Rob that does the PA at the STM games. And I'm like, can you not say the Illinois score tonight? Or can you at least say, hey, time for an Illinois basketball update, and then wait for a minute and let everybody else close their ears in case we're recording it. But I'm one of the few idiots that tries not to hear.
I know. I was going to say, I can't. Know. I could never pull that off. If I got something going on when a team's playing, I'm just going to pull my phone out and check the score.
I know.
It's probably enjoyable for you to get home like, all right, I'm going to watch this game. I just can't ever do that.
And even if I know Illinois wins, I know that takes the pressure off then of watching that game. There's no stress, right? Because you know in the end they're going to win. It still ruins the excitement a little bit of how it went down and stuff. So it's one of those. Matt Bailey, I was laughing with you. We didn't hear this much about Devin Witherspoon last year. I mean, early on, I know he's good, and I know, like you said, he's a known, but this isn't, you know, it's not Deion Sanders coming back, right? But we need him back. I mean, he's good, and he's going to help the secondary. Yeah. But, man, he's gotten a lot of press the last couple of weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
He's done a good job of marketing himself. He's like, I know what I'll do. I'll just be hurt the first
game. He better come play well now as soon as he gets back. That's the only issue with that.
There's a lot of pressure on him. All right, let's talk some more Illinois-Kansas next hour. We'll hear from Matt Tate, covers Kansas Jayhawks football. We will do all that next. It is The Drive.
No matter what, it takes a great team to win. And in Fairbury, Aftershock Decals and Design wins consistently. And it's the all-star team that makes it happen. Do you have what it takes to be a part of this winning team? Aftershock Decals and Designs is recruiting. If you are looking to join this all-star team and you have 2 years of experience in either graphics design or wrap installations, we want you. AftershockDD.com/jobs. Aftershock Decals and Design is an equal opportunity employer. That's a wrap. Get noticed.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne, where your dream car awaits. With an exquisite selection of top-tier vehicles, impeccable service, and unbeatable prices, they are your ultimate destination for automotive excellence. Experience luxury, performance, and style like never before. Visit today and drive home in the vehicle you've always desired. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. Your journey towards automotive perfection starts here. Visit them at Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
As the summer temperatures rise, make sure your energy bills stay low. Call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing to upgrade to a high-efficiency Lennox air conditioner. Dogtown offers financing, including 0% no interest for qualifying customers. And if you have rooms in your house that don't seem to stay cool, call and ask about the great rebates on the Daikin Douglas Mini Splits. Call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing at 217-8-